Blog Talk Radio.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, here we go. Must be Friday.
Yes, we are. It is a Friday. It is a happy Friday, and we are in Christmas season.
Yeah,
I know.
So weird. This has been the weirdest week. Like I can't believe it's Friday. I was talking to Gwion earlier today, and I was like, "Oh, I did this thing on. I can't remember what day did I do that thing on." And then I was sitting there trying to remember. It was just Monday. It was just on Monday that I went on this errand, but it feels like it was a million years ago. I can't believe it's already Friday. It's just, the time is so weird right now.
I can really relate to that. Trust me. it's almost like we have stepped into, I don't want to say a time warp, but a skew on time where, you know, the linear time construct is like fluctuating, like, you know, I think of those when you used to do ropes and you could, you know, you don't jump rope, but you would just, you know, kind of play with them and let them kind of stake themselves out. I feel that's the way we've got time. It's like they're not, it's not slow. It's just kind of this weird little up and down and all over the place. But, yeah, I agree. Totally.
Yeah, it's
totally
weird.
No, but, I mean, and, you know, we're still, you and I are still getting used to the schedule that we have chosen to work with our radio show. So for me, it used to be a grounding element in a form that I had, you know, these things. This is what I was experiencing. And now it's kind of like, oh, let's throw that one up in the air.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, all of us are being bombarded and experiencing the, dare I say, fluctuations of the various, how do I want to say, health, mindset, and energy out there that is going on. So very strange time, and, you know, I don't know. It's, and even my clients, they're kind of like, you know, I get the feeling they're just, you know, they call me to try to get grounded. And I'm sitting here going, okay, we can deal with this. And then I get off the phone and I kind of go, okay, now I need to go get grounded. So I hang out with my dog. So it goes down the road. But, and so how, I mean, I can't say how is your week because we don't do that anymore. So from the last time that we had a live show, how has, you know, the time been treating you?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. We hosted Thanksgiving this year, so we, and, you know, the fact that we actually had people in our house is a huge difference from last year because of where we were with vaccinations not existing yet and COVID numbers being what they were. We didn't feel safe having people over last year, so it was just me and Gwion and my daughter. And this year we had all of the kids and my parents and one of my parents' parents. It was a much larger gathering. We actually had to bring in a second table, right? So,
Wow.
It was a lot of fun and wonderful. And, you know, I'm already an introvert, and being isolated with the stuff around COVID has made me even more so. So I was wiped out the next day. I was like a little bit cranky and a little bit tired. And I just felt like I was overly peopled. You know, that's not an unusual feeling for me, but it was surprising that it was just my family that left me feeling there wasn't even any fighting or anything. It was just a very sweet and lovely gathering, and we played some board games and things. So, you know, it was nice, but we got our tree, our Yule tree, Christmas tree, winter tree, whatever the heck you want to call it that weekend. And we decorated, and I put a ton of freaking lights out in the front yard. I just love all of that. So that's been fun. But I'm working on the next book. So that honestly, like, my whole life is consumed by writing right now. And, you know, my deadline is the end of the year. And I've known that is my deadline since March when I signed the contract. Maybe even January when I signed the contract. But I haven't really started working on it until, like, October. So, you know, I'm in a torture chamber of my own creating because I procrastinated a bit on it, but I'm very close. So it's like, I want to hurry up and get it finished because I'm at a point where I can taste the ending of it. And, you know, but this is the hustle and bustle time of year. I know that most people experience that with the holiday season and the winter season and all of that, you know, the end of the year and all that comes with all of that from a personal and a business perspective. Like, there's always something about the end of the year for folks, but it's exceptionally that for me, having a retail business this is the hectic time of the year. So we're just preparing and battening down the hatches and doing our best to be as fully prepared as we can. So it's fun and it's nerve-wracking. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Just writing, writing, writing. How about you? What have you been up to? More exciting things, I hope.
Well, yes. I mean, you closed on a house.
Yay!
And I closed on my house. It was exciting. I went to the title company and sat there and signed page after page after page. And even as she was saying, you may have e-signed these, you still have, we want you to have your signature on every page, initial on every page. So it was, you know, my real estate agent and my mortgage broker were there to give me support, which I thought was really nice, because I was like going, this is probably the most stressful experience I have had to date. I mean, even when I went and bought my mobile home, it was stressful because I was having to deal with having lost my husband and mourning my husband and mourning the fact that, you know, I have to move. But this one was just like, oh, my God, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So, yeah, it was really nice. And they were both, all of us were women, so we were talking about women power and all of that. So it was really kind of nice. And after that, then, you know, certain things about, well, when are you moving in? And I looked at this, and because it was November 8th, or actually 9th, I'm sorry, that we signed it, I was looking at Thanksgiving coming up and then my birthday and Christmas and New Year's, and I'm like going, it's going to be a couple of months because there is no way I can literally take and do what I need to do to clean it and prep it and do whatever it is and then move three containers, you know, three storage units into the house and put everything away and then have a Christmas and, you know, that. I was And it was a major decision because every time I've moved except once has been at this time of the year. And even when I was moving into the mobile home, and I still did it. You know, I was, you know, Wonder Woman and all those things. And, yeah, and I probably could still be Wonder Woman, but I made a conscious choice to pause and, you know, take this slower. And it's good. It's also a little nerve-wracking because now I've decided I'm going to paint some of the walls, you know, and I got a thorough cleaning, and I changed the locks, and I put camera, I'm getting cameras put in, which I've never done in a house that I've ever lived in. But
yeah.
It's a more advisable thing these days. Anyhow, we get to the back door, and I mentioned this to Phoenix, and it would not, the lock wouldn't come out, so there was problems. So it was advised that I change the door. And so I have gone door hunting, a friend of mine here, and basically found that it's going to be a very expensive door that I have to put in. So I'm sitting with that consciousness and going, breathe, just breathe, you know, this is part of, you know, the whole process. And the rest of it is Christmas and Thanksgiving, my daughter. I haven't had a Thanksgiving with my daughter in 7 years because when my granddaughter was born, I decided that it would be more advantageous to come out at Christmas time and her birthday, which was in July and December. So it was really fun. It was the first time that my ex and his wife had come out to a family gathering in 3 years, and it was well before COVID hit that they had stopped coming because of some of their own health issues. So it was really pleasant and really nice and, you know, family. And so that was a real thing. My daughter got a little more stressed out because cleaning her house and, you know, doing all of that kind of wore on her. And, you know, but in the meantime, I have proceeded to literally, I've got all the gifts for the families here. I've got all of the stuff, a bulk of it for back in California, you know, so I feel like I have accomplished a lot when it comes to that. And then, you know, it's just kind of, I do day-by-day things. Things have gone sideways in different issues. Like they decided at the signing, I made a point of saying, I do not want any mail to go to my home address. I have a P.O. box. Please send it to the private mailbox. And I made a point of giving everybody everything. Well, didn't know that they had sent, the title company had sent stuff, the home insurance company had sent something, the home warranty people, and it was all stacked up, and it just happened to be that the mail lady that does there also does my daughter's house, and through a connection of communication, I get this stack. So at the beginning of the week, I had to sit down and call everybody again and go through the whole process. And this is not the first time. There are other things that I have gone through and changed addresses, and they messed it up and called back. And it's just, I kind of saw a pattern. And instead, I did take it personally, but then going backwards and, like, talking, like you said, time felt weird. It feels like communication in essence of, I don't necessarily just mean people, I think more in the professional business environment is gone sideways. And they're not listening, or the computer gets added and then they don't punch it in right or something. And obviously my feelings about that were pretty high. This is the beginning of the week. I've calmed down and actually got really good news today after I talked to the Social Security office as to my impending retirement, which was really nice. So, yeah, it's, you know, you get a couple of wins, then you get a loss, and then you get a couple of wins. So, And as you say, today, this week has not felt like a week. It felt like something changed. You know, I really had to keep a handle on the fact that we were doing a show.
Right.
Because, you know, I was like going, well, I need to go to the post office. I need to do this. And then I look at the time and go, I can't go anywhere because, you know, I have this big sign and these papers sitting in front of me of the subject we're going to go after. And I'm like, no, don't go out that door, you know, that kind of thing. So,
nice. Yeah,
that was my hoedown in the experience of the last month or so of experiences. And did find out how intense my world revolves around the internet. When being out here, they had the internet go out for anywhere from 4 to 8 hours a day.
Oh, yikes.
And I don't know if it was because we had solar flares that had happened, big ones, and this was, it was hitting, you know, the earth or whatever, or what it was, but obviously I was like, oh my God, I don't have internet, you know, and that was freaking me out because of things that are part of it. So, but we made it through that and, you know, all the rest of it. So I guess I'm doing okay. And, you know, my dogs have acclimated to the kind of life we've got here. They're going to love it when we go there because I have this big porch that goes all the way, literally three quarters of the way around the length and the width and the, you know, the back section of the mobile. And so I've got dog pens that I'm going to set up and tie up, and so they can run around this area. And, of course, my next-door neighbor has two big dogs and a little dog. The people directly behind me have two hound dogs and a little dog. So by the time everybody gets out and is running around, they're going to have a marvelous time barking at everybody. So we'll see how well. And at least one thing is that at the mobile home park, we had responsibilities to be where we were, you know, our animals were, but also the noise level. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is country. It's completely different. And, you know, the idea of dogs barking and carrying on isn't going to be something I'm just going to let consistently happen, but it's not something I have to freak out, run out, get the dogs and bring them in and, you know, make them go quiet. But anyway, there we are. That's it. So maybe we should get into our subject matter for the day.
Sure. So today we're going to talk all about the myth of the Oak King and the Holly King, which is very much a Wiccan story. And Elvira and I have done separate research on this topic, so we may even have different / conflicting information, because that's how shit like this goes. And just a warning, we might also have a shorter show today than normal because there's only so much we can say about this topic.
That's true. That's true, because obviously we can babble a lot, you know, and make, you know, interesting conversation. But the idea of our show is one of information, informative, you know, has humor and stuff in it. So maybe we'll, you know, have a little bit of a skit here or there about it, but we can only do so much. And even if we try to reenact the Battle of the Holly King and the Oak King, it would be kind of pointless because you can't see it. We're on the radio. So any theatrics would kind of be lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
But definitely. So with that, I'm going to let you kind of jump off. That way I can see where my conflicting things can come in and I can kind of add a little of the, you know, stir the pot stuff or whatever.
Sure. So this story, and I think we'll just say what the story is first and then we can talk about origins and potential origins and we'll go into specifics of all of the symbology here. But ultimately, the story is that there, in some versions, there is brothers. One is the Oak King and one is the Holly King. In other versions of the story, one is the old god and one is the young god, and that rotates as the cycle goes. But these two entities hold the balance of light and dark. And the Oak King is born on the winter solstice in some versions, or wins the battle on winter solstice, and then reigns over the world from winter solstice to summer solstice. And then at summer solstice, the Holly King is born, or wins the battle between the brothers. And then the Holly King rules from the summer solstice to the winter solstice. So those of you paying attention will see, obviously, from the summer solstice on, we're losing daylight. Like, that's a thing our planet does. It's not necessarily a spiritual thing. It's a planetary thing. Every day we lose more and more light from the summer solstice in to the dark half of the year. By the time we reach the winter solstice, it is the darkest day that we have of it the entire year. So the concept is the Holly King rules that time. He is the king of the darkness. he is the king of the cold season, even though for many of us, summer solstice is, there's much more summer to go. The many believe that this story goes back to ancient England, maybe ancient Scotland or Ireland, whatever. But there, this idea that Holly King rules the darkening half. And then the other half, from the winter solstice, we start to gain daylight every year or every day. It becomes lighter and lighter and lighter all the way into the summer solstice. And so this concept is the opposite side of the coin. The Oak King rules from that moment where the light begins to grow. He is the ruler of the light half, quote unquote, of the year. He is the ruler of the growing time. And so these two are locked in a perpetual annual battle of taking leadership from the other one, or abdicating leadership to the other one, or sharing leadership with the other one, depending on how you view this story. And that is how many Wiccans and modern witches look at the turning of the tide, the wheel of the year, and the balance of the summer solstice and the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
There's my 5-cent version of the story.
There you go. Well, and obviously you take this a step back, you know, and you go, okay, with the concept of the seasonal change and the personification in the aspect of our Oak King, Holly King, you also have, you know, the idea that it's all over the world. There are pairs of energy that represent that, and with that concept, you kind of have this, you know, the dying rising deity, whether or not we call it a deity, we personify it as a king, and I kind of looked at it, and it was like, you know, you start looking at the energies of, you know, the ones that are they're talking about, and how they take the story and they tweak it. It's not that maybe in the more ancient times it was their culture, their ethnicity, their version. But then when you start to get into more modern times and you utilize the concept of what you want, how you want to revision it to make it your whatever religion, your belief, your group, your, you know, whatever. And it kind of comes down to, you know, you have one part of the year, as you say, where it's sun and it's open and it's this, and then you have the dark side. And one of the things that I actually thought fascinating about what I was reading is you do have it set up as solar, and which understandably is for the reasons that in agrarian vegetation point of reference, you know, you have a certain amount of time you can either go gather your food or you go, you know, grow your food or whatever. But it also, you look at it and then it becomes the masculine and the feminine, the solar being the masculine and the dark time being the feminine. So then it was revisioned. And I don't know, we as the more modern version of society, took into account the feminine energy and thus the goddess and then, of course, the god. And then you have, you know, the dynamics of one energy ruling and then the other. And I found it interesting when someone said just recently, and that's why I kind of bring it up about astrology, is that right now we're moving into the dark time, but we're moving into the dark feminine time. And they said that, and I was like going, yes. And even when you consider that the Holly King rules, it's really the feminine energy rules, and he is the guardian of it, not necessarily the ruler. And I think that sometimes we need to look at that in that manner rather than get all bent out of shape and go, I'm a feminist. How could we do that? How could we have a man rule over, you know, I mean, it's the word guardian is just that. You guard it. It's sacred. You take care of it. And we've forgotten that even as being, you know, guardians of the earth and guardians of, you know, different things. It's a time to shift that energy. And I like the idea that we chose this topic with the concept that we had two kings. And then I started reading,
right.
and I'm going, you know, there are versions, and we'll probably get into a little later, of, you know, triplicities and things
mm-hmm.
instead of the duality. But
mm-hmm.
this kind of presents it as a different way of seeing the energies in terms of solar, lunar, and not just one personification of a male energy taking care of everything. So
Well, it's interesting in most Wiccan circles, like traditional Wiccan, like Gardnerian and Alexandrian and those formats, there is a goddess and a god, and they work through this Wheel of the Year cycle. So the Oak King and the Holly King is actually one entity, and the goddess gives birth to that entity and then copulates with that entity, and then the son takes the reins from the father. And so it is sort of this weird incestuous relationship between goddess and god that in a cycle that continues every year to explain the cycle of time, basically, right? So there, you know, in some circles there is that balance of how the goddess is involved, but also you know, one of my traditions is the reclaiming tradition of witchcraft, and it's a very feminist focused tradition. And one year at a winter solstice ritual, we invoked the goddess, the winter goddess, and then we did a battle, a reenactment of the Oak King and the Holly King. And people were not happy.
Oh.
We got a lot of feedback because, you know, in the reclaiming tradition, it's very feminist focused, but it's also nonviolent focused. And to have like these two male entities battle, because we literally had them with swords, like battling in the middle of the ritual space as you know, to show a nod to our Wiccan heritage, because all modern witchcraft has influence from modern Wicca. People did not like a battle being played out in the ritual. And so that's a part of this too. Like in some versions, they fight and one kills the other. And in other versions, one abdicates his power to the other, and they are, you know, they're brothers, and they, you know, whether that's brothers of blood or brothers of relation or brothers of choice, whatever. But there's lots of ways to spin this story. And ultimately, it is just a story. There's actually not a lot of evidence that this is some ancient tale. You know, Robert Graves, who wrote The White Goddess, is really who made a lot of these concepts about the goddess king at the winter solstice and the Oak King and the Holly King battle and this maiden mother crone concept. Robert Graves really made all of that very popular in his book. Unfortunately, he made a lot of it up, and it's beautiful and it's poetic and it speaks to us on a, you know, a deep level. And obviously it spoke to a lot of people when the book was published, to the point where they took it and ran, and people still honor these stories as though Robert Graves was some great anthropologist and uncovered these ancestral tales. He just didn't. It doesn't mean the stories aren't any less beautiful, fascinating, or powerful, but they're not ancient tales. They don't come from pre-Christian times. And so they're really not that old, which is fascinating. I love how people think older equals better and then get really offended when you show them that what they believe isn't that old. And that works for people of all faiths. I've definitely pissed off a lot of people.
Well, it's interesting, the concept of, you know, the ritual oak and holly. Of course, you've got oak and mistletoe, and the ritual that Polyphony of the Elder in the first century AD wrote was about this Celtic religious ceremony of, you know, white-clad druids who were considered the magicians climbing the oak tree and, you know, cutting with a golden sickle the mistletoe. It takes some particular thing, and then you expand on it. You mythologically put things together with it. Oak, mistletoe, holly, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And it doesn't make it any less valid. It makes
those two plants, the oak and the trees, the oak and the holly, are sacred plants. Well, I mean, all plants are sacred. I don't mean to, you know, whatever. But there is lots of written evidence and history, especially in the British Isles, about the oak tree and the holly plant being used for magic and medicine and being part of druidic practice. So there's, you know, there's a kernel of truth to all of this, or truth probably isn't the right word. There's a kernel of ancestral history, right, that can be proven. But again, like, how much has been lost because it wasn't written down? How much has been lost because of colonization or war or whatever, libraries being burned, you know? So we can only take it all with a grain of salt and know that we're never going to know the full truth. That's part of living life, is to discover truth, you know? So yes, these plants have important spiritual significance.
Right, right.
You know, that's something to remember.
Exactly. And I think that goes to my religion is better than your religion. My beliefs are better than your beliefs. I'm better than you because of.
Right.
I think that, and I'm taking this to a bigger perspective because I found some notes that I had kind of starred as the point of reference of what we have here is, you know, they started with a creation myth of basically what they saw was life and death coming through seasons in front of us where things would, you know, die and then they grow again and then they die and they grow again. So, you know, and whether we wanted to make it into a personification or it was a cycle and we wanted to enjoy the good things and watch out for the bad things, which is when it gets dark and cold and there's no food and everything is down, you know, underground. And that kind of, it's okay. Then you take religions that choose to put a concept of immortality on it instead and personify immortality, and you forget that the cycle of life, i.e. what we're seeing as seasons, is immortal. So whether we choose to make it a god, a goddess, whatever, it becomes a reality of that. And I think the one thing that I noticed, and I was trying to find the one note that really, is the climate change. They brought it up in one of their aspects as the climate change is, again, the battle taking place, not necessarily with humans being disrespectful of, you know, Earth and all, but which it is true, you know, part of that is true, but is the concept that climate change is another mythological point of reference that you can look at as the battle between the light and the dark, the Holly King, the Oak King, the time when it's going to be less, less able to be, regulated. Like, I know that in, you know, summer we're going to have heat and instead we have, you know, lots of rain. Like, you know, one of the things out here in Arkansas is that everybody's going, we have a real autumn, you know, and then suddenly it turned to 70-degree weather and it's like, that's not autumn, you know. It's because there are shifts, but that is also another cycle playing out in a much bigger picture of this aspect. So so that kind of brought me to, you know, realize this is something, a much bigger point of reference, something that, yes, we want to have something as a story. I mean, we all I love Santa stories. I'm sorry, this is, you know, my time of the year. I was born at this time of the year, and, you know, so it's like, oh God. And what you get is, you know, Santa Claus giving good things, and then they give him the decision as to what he gives naughty and nice. Of course, the Scandinavians and those did Krampus, and he became the one that would be the dispenser of the punishment side, and Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas was the one that was the good guy, and you know, they still have that dynamic of creating that. So to me, I'm I'm like going, yeah, I can understand, you know, the need for that. But, yeah.
Yeah, so. And I think, that, you know, at one point in time for witches and pagans, there was this desire to legitimize our faith and the things that we believed. And for many people in the world and in Western culture specifically, there is something about older being better. So there, you know, there were folks who worked really hard to try and give legitimacy to some of these stories and tales by directing them to older versions and saying, oh, we'll see, like this thing here is the same as this thing here, therefore it's the same thing. And a lot of the times that ended up being, you know, 1 + 2 = 5. It wasn't exactly the right kind of correlation from a historical perspective. But, you know, humans also tend to repeat things, and we repeat patterns, and there's these moments where you can see, for example, this is totally not related to our topic, but there are pyramids in Egypt, and there are pyramids in South America.
Mm-hmm.
These are cultures that it's very unlikely they were communicating with each other, and yet they built these very similar structures with
mm-hmm.
what we would consider rudimentary tools, right? Like there were no cranes.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, right, and so there is this idea, and there's an actual word for it, but I can't remember what it is, and it's this idea where multiple people across multiple parts of the planet are struck by the same inspiration and start producing things at the same time. It's like there's this weird thing I've noticed with publishing. There was a book that came out recently about horse magic and specifically doing magic with and around horses. And then like 6 months later, a different publishing house published a book about horse magic. There's no way those publishing agencies would have published the same type of book. It just happened to work out that way. And so two different people, two different writers were struck by inspiration at the same time about the same subject. We can see this repeated all over the place. And so this is another point to a story like this, where you can be inspired by an ancient story like Gawain and the Green Knight, which some people compare to the Oak and Holly King, or Lu and Balor, which some people compare to the Oak and Holly King, and draw a modern extrapolation of something more ancient.
Yeah, and just for your and this one I found interesting because, again, I am not as knowledgeable about the Christian tradition, but then you have Jesus and John the Baptist, which presents you with yet another version of the same kind of, you know, person that comes in, does something, and there's the light, and then, of course, you have to, they die, and then, of course, the other person takes over where they come, and they present the next level, and, you know, it. The only thing that I guess in some ways is kind of like I was looking at all of these, and, of course, you have even Ishtar or Inanna and Eriskigal, which was a female version of the light and the dark concept back in the Sumerian times. And so you have different versions according to different cultures that have created the same thing, whether it's because of agrarian or because it has something to do with their own seasons or their own light, where they are on the planet, because obviously Northern Hemisphere is more of what we've talked about rather than the Southern Hemisphere.
Right.
The time. And so it kind of, we see that, and then we grow accustomed to those things being it. And then, of course, because we are accustomed to it, it becomes a truth, which it's a viable point of reference, but not really the undying truth. And I think we keep looking for something that is the ultimate truth, no matter what, and we keep creating these things around it. And I know that, you know, with the Wiccans and the beliefs on that, and then you've got the feminists with the triple goddess and how, you know, you can work with that. Well, you know, Ireland and Scotland and everything, they have only 3 seasons, the Mediterranean. It's not really like a 4-season process. So
simplicity
and, you know, Persephone and all these. And you could create them, but they become, they are, they're the life preservers for people that want this belief and have some need to have it made as a story that they can relate to. I mean, I love, you know, all the Christmas stories and the, you know, and the different stories that are done over, you know, the things that we have seen as traditions and, you know, like Hanukkah. I know that everyone gets, you know, there's this version that Hanukkah is a more new version of a sacred time. And some people get very, you know, like it is not from the Old Testament or the Old you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess I look at what is there and I honor it as it is coming in, and I will relate to it in a way that I grew up or that I was around, but it doesn't mean that I say that's the only way and get pissed off at people who don't say, you know, Merry Christmas, and I say Happy Holidays, because I'm honoring, like, all of the holidays that are around this time frame that are from all cultures, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right. And I realized I misspoke about the timeline. I want to correct that really quick. The Oak King and the Holly King fight on the equinoxes. That's when their power is balanced. And then the height of each one's power is at the solstices. So it's that when they're in balanced power, they fight. But we know who's going to win each fight.
It's kind of...
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
No, this is not a surprise. Well, I mean, it's like we watch... Okay. You watch Shakespeare, you know how many people are, you know, he had a formula and certain people died and certain people lived. Or we love our favorite movies and we know how they end, but we still love them. We still watch them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. It's a miracle, and yet it is a miracle we, I guess, trick ourselves into experiencing it as the one and only miracle that will ever happen. I don't know. I get passionate about this time. I also understand the diversity as I have grown up over the years, as I have taken on different structures of teachings and you know, beliefs. And yet what I keep finding the ultimate is how beautiful we all see the changing of the seasons and what it means to us. It may not mean that we went out and harvested the food and said Thanksgiving, you know, and the Thanksgiving that is created in the United States has its flaws too. But it's about saying thank you for having our harvest and having food and our families and, you know, the community, rather than getting all been out of shape that mine is better than yours.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, I'm noticing the time. We should probably take our quick break.
Yes.
So then
yes,
when
we
get
will.
Back, I would love to talk about the symbology of holly and oak, if you are into that idea.
That sounds fine. I think it's great.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
Yes.
Magic is coming your way right after these messages. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30; The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 1 to 2. And Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 7 to 8. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Hooray!
We're back! That was short, sweet, and to the point. So,
yeah,
enlighten me on holly and oak.
Yeah, so I thought I would read straight out of Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. It is one of my favorite books. I highly recommend it. It's just an excellent reference and resource for all kinds of herbs and their use in magic. So I'm going to just share Scott Cunningham's writings about these two plants. So we'll start with holly. Some of the folk names for holly are aquifolius, bat's wings, Christ's thorn, holy tree, home chase, holm, holverbush, and tinny. That's one interesting one. The gender of this plant is considered to be masculine. Its planet is Mars. Its element is fire. Its powers are protection, anti-lightning, luck, and dream magic. And then Scott Cunningham writes, magical uses, a par excellence protective herb. Holly guards against lightning, poison, and evil spirits. Planting around the home, it protects it and its inhabitants from mischievous sorcerers. When thrown at wild animals, that's hilarious. I just need to pause. When thrown at wild animals, holly makes them lie down quietly and leave you alone, even if you don't hit them with the plant. Holly water, infused or distilled, is sprinkled on newborn babies to protect them. Holly is also carried to promote good luck, especially by men, since the holly is a male plant. Ivy is the corresponding plant for women. It is also hung around the house for good luck at Yule. After midnight on a Friday, without making a sound, gather 9 holly leaves, preferably from a non-spiny plant that has smooth leaves. Wrap these up in a white cloth using 9 knots to tie the ends together. Place this beneath your pillow and your dreams will come true. That's what he said about holly. Then oak, and this is generic oak, right? Because there's dozens, if not more, different types of oak. Oak folk names are deer, Jove's nuts. That makes me laugh because
okay.
I'm a 12-year-old. Also, the gender is masculine. The planet is the sun, and the element also is fire. Deities associated with the oak are Dagda, Diana, Jupiter, Thor, Zeus, Hern, Janus, Rhea, Cabelli, Hecate, Pan, and Arato. Its powers are of protection, health, money, healing, potency, fertility, and luck. And then Scott Cunningham with both ritual uses and magical uses. So ritual uses, he says, since the oak was a source of food for early settlers in Britain as well as Europe, it came to be revered and worshipped far back into prehistory. The Druids traditionally would not meet for rituals unless an oak was present. And the very word oak and druid, some say, are related. Religious idols were fashioned from oak wood, and witches often danced beneath the tree. The magical uses, he says, a tree as long-lived and strong as the oak naturally offers magical protection. 2 twigs of oak bound with red thread so they form an equal-armed cross makes a potent safeguard against evil, and it should be hung in the house. Acorns placed in windows guards against the entrance of lightning. Both of these plants guard against lightning. That's interesting. And a piece of oak wood carries and protects its bearer from all harm. If you catch a falling oak leaf, you shall have no cold all winter long. When a sick person is in the house, make a fire of oak wood and warm the house with it to draw off the illness. And then he writes, do this only if you have a fireplace, of course. carry an acorn against illness and pains for immortality or longevity and to preserve youthfulness. Planting an acorn in the dark of the moon ensures that you will receive money in your near future. Carry an acorn increases your fertility and strengthens sexual potency. Any piece of the oak draws good luck. So there's what old Scott Cunningham has to say about it.
Wow. Hey. You know, it was funny because now I was taking notes. I'm like going, why did I do this? And I don't remember. But it's interesting. Those are very interesting things. And no matter how many times somebody reads those things or I look at them, when I hear somebody else read them, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
me
yeah.
too. Me too. Isn't that funny?
It's because whatever it is that I'm doing at the time that I'm trying to get information, it's like I'm focused. But
yeah.
When it comes to somebody else saying something or reading it. It's amazing. It's like something lights up and you go, oh, yes. And but that was, and that's why wherever that little note is, it'll be probably, it was for me and not to be shared, I guess. But it was sudden oak disease. It seems that California has now had a seasonal issue with the fact that, of course, sudden oak disease was taking it out. Well, with the drought and the cold weather and the fact that, oh, by the way, knock on a lot of wood, you guys have not had fires when the fire season, quote unquote, has been around, that the sudden oak disease is dying out.
Right. I saw that too. Fascinating, right?
Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting because, again, you know, you're looking at a situation that we as humans freak out about. And, again, we were talking about, you know, I mentioned the climate change situation. And yet, in light of, no pun intended, the concept of that happening, this major disease that has been taking out a lot of the oaks in the area, one of them, has been, I don't want to say eradicated, but brought to a point where it is no longer a big issue, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I went, you know, because even though I don't live in California right now, I do have a lot of pathos and a lot of, you know, connection with California. And if you look at the way things are running, it may mean that, I'm going to get very esoteric, I guess, that the disease that has been corrupting the California energy of the earth and the spirit of California is being eradicated. And I'll leave it at that. Maybe somebody will come up with a theory and expound on it. But I thought that was really... I felt really good when I heard that because I thought, oh, that is so good, because I was so devastated with all of the oak trees that were dying and, you know, because of this. But and it's funny because there was a huge holly bush that was in front of my mobile home, and I would never, you know, people want to know, why don't you cut it down? And I'm like, no. And the last year I was there, it had holly berries on it. It had never in 16 years had holly berries on it, but it started to have holly berries, you know, before I left. Well, actually, that more into the winter time. But, yeah, I was really excited about that. So
that's cool.
I thought, well, that was nice. I just hope the new owners appreciate it and destroy it. But they had pyracanthus, and I'm sure they – I loved pyracanthus. I thought that was, you know, and again, this is another one of those where the berries come out and they're red and they're, you know, and I had like a sentinel, like four sentinels going down the backside of each fence. And I kept them and I made sure that they stayed, you know, trimmed and everything because, you know, they're thorny, but they're also protection.
Yeah. They're good guardians for sure.
They're really good guardians. So, but, and we're talking plants as opposed to holly and kings and energy. But it all kind of comes together. It all has a meaning, and it's all woven together. It's not, you can't separate it, even though we as humans love to dissect and separate and put things in little containers and make sure we know, rather than realize that it is a part of this whole process.
But we should talk about that coming up. We will be having another Ask the Witch segment. So just a quick plug for that because we're getting close to the end of our time today. If there's a topic you'd like to hear us banter about, if you have questions about your own practice, if you need a little advice, please do write to us. Also, if you'd like us to do a tarot card reading on a sort of simple one card or three card reading on a situation that you are currently dealing with, please do write to us. And the way to do that is to go to our website, which is witchpriestesscauldron.com. And there is a little tab in there for submitting your questions. And all we need is a name and an email and then the question. So write as much detail as you can without writing multiple paragraphs. Brevity with impact. Let us know what's going on with as few words as possible. And mostly that's for if you want a tarot card reading. We do need a little bit more information. You know, if you write, will he come home? That is very vague. Is it your cat?
Yes.
Is it a boyfriend? Like, we need a little bit more information than that. So, but please do write to us. We will be doing an Ask a Witch segment coming up soon, and we would love to have your questions to help out your lives. So
Definitely. Do it. So we obviously need to let people know how our schedule is, because, again, we've been working on a new schedule where it's, you know, every other week, and, mm-hmm. you know, we become live, and sometimes it hits where one of the Sabbaths come close enough, and we do a rerun of one of our Sabbath recordings that we have done.
Right.
So getting, I think, as we kind of did, we will probably the next one will be, I believe, the solstice, and then we'll have one that we will rerun for the time that we normally have in December for intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first one we will do live, which is why we're plugging Ask the Witch, would be in January. So
Right. That
one would be January 14th will be our first.
So keep that in mind. If you're sending a question, it's not going to be answered next Friday. It'll be our January 14th, 2022 episode. So it's not that far away, but it's not tomorrow. So plan in advance. If you need emergency tarot help, then you got to wait.
And if it's not, you can look at Milk and Honey, and Miss Phoenix, of course, is available for readings. I'm also available for readings. And, you can always catch us through that process. It's really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So on that, I think, we've actually didn't think we were going to make it all the way through our hour, but we did.
We did. We could always talk. It's fine.
I know. Because there's fair disclosure here, we do tend to present a subject and then give the information, but then we are also very strong-minded individuals, sometimes with like points of reference, sometimes divergent, and that's mm-hmm. the part where we get to really pull that out and let people hear what other witches do think, not all alike, and thus, we can give more information by our own personal experiences and thoughts.
Right, absolutely.
Definitely. So, it has been good to be on live with you, Ms. Phoenix.
Yep.
I am kind of like going, wow, this felt so good. And it's been a kind of a grounding element for me to get my feet more in conversational aspects with people that, like yourself, that I can talk with or talk. We can talk about things. So that being said, I want you to have a very happy and merry solstice, Christmas,
Yes. Holidays,
New Year.
Yes, same to you. Yeah.
Okay. And we will
thanks everyone for listening.
Definitely, and we will definitely see. You will hear us in the new year live, but you will get multiple times to hear again different things. And please listen, because again, we said, you can hear new things.
Absolutely.
So, have a wonderful holiday and a blessing to all.
Thank you so much. See you next time.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.